Hi, this is Herb Montgomery, and I want to welcome you to Renewed Heart Ministries weekly podcast. These are basically test runs. Right now we're just checking out the quality of them, and we're very open to your feedback on these. There's not going to be a lot of production, not a lot of pizzazz. Most of the time we'll just be sitting here in my living room very informally, and I'll just be sharing with you some thoughts I have on various weekly topics. I'm hoping that these will be another avenue to help you more deeply experience and encounter God's character of love for you, that you would come to know what's really the love that's really in His heart for you. So without any more delay, thank you for downloading this and joining me in my living room for this very first Renewed Heart Ministries podcast. Welcome to what I believe is in God's heart for you. I want to wish each of you a good morning. This is Herb Montgomery, Director of Renewed Heart Ministries, and I'm here in my living room this morning just sharing with you a few thoughts from our weekly eSight this week on prayer. This podcast is going to be dealing with kind of the nature of prayer. Now we're going to begin in Matthew 6, 7 through 8, where Jesus says, "And when you are praying, do not use meaningless repetition as the Gentiles do, for they suppose that they will be heard for their many words. So do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask Him." This week I'd like to share just a few thoughts on prayer. I try to be real careful on the subject of prayer. There's so many misconceptions out there on this topic. What I don't want to do, I don't want to ever give the idea that prayer is somehow asking God to be good, or informing Him of what we need. And we're going to go more into that as we go through here. First of all, Matthew 6:32, Jesus said, "For the Gentiles eagerly seek all these things, for your Heavenly Father knows that you need all these things." So God knows what we need. And if we believe God is good and He already knows what we need, some people say, well, then why pray? What's the purpose of prayer? Some say that the purpose of prayer is, well, it changes us. Prayer benefits us. And it does to some degree. I would agree that prayer has an effect on us. But the Bible doesn't really teach that the primary purpose of prayer is to effect a change in the prayer. It's not to inform God of anything, because He already knows everything we need. It's not to convince Him to give us what we need, because God is good. It's not to persuade Him to be good. God already is good. And prayer is not necessarily, although it does have an effect on us, its primary purpose isn't to change us, although it does. That's not its purpose. What is the purpose of prayer then? I want to share with you some brief excerpts from an experience that Daniel had, and you can find this in Daniel chapter 10. "In those days, I, Daniel, had been mourning for 3 entire weeks. I did not eat any tasty food, nor did meat or wine enter my mouth, nor did I use any ointment at all until the entire 3 weeks were completed. On the 24th day of the first month, while I was by the bank of the great river that is the Tigris, I lifted my eyes and looked, and behold, there was a certain man dressed in linen. He said to me, 'O Daniel, man of high esteem, understand the words that I'm about to tell you and stand upright, for I have now been sent to you.' And when he had spoken to me this word, I stood up trembling. Then he said to me, 'Do not be afraid, Daniel, for from the first day that you set your heart on understanding this and on humbling yourself before God, your words were heard, and I have come in response to your words. But the prince of the kingdom of Persia was withstanding me for 21 days. Then behold, Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me, for I had been left there with the kings of Persia. Then he said to me, 'Do you understand why I came to you? But I shall now return to fight against the prince of Persia. So I am going forth, and behold, the prince of Greece is about to come. However, I will tell you what is inscribed in the writing of truth. Yet there is no one who stands firmly against these forces except Michael, your prince.'" This is quite actually a bizarre story, but just hang with it for just a moment. There's some things I'd like to point out for you here. First of all, Daniel's prayer was heard the very first day he started praying. And the question is asked, well, why did it take 3 weeks then? Why did it take 21 days for this angel to get to Daniel? Is that the transit time of heaven? What's going from heaven to earth? What's going on here? Notice what it says. There was another free moral agent, and some theologians will debate whether that the Prince of Persia was a fallen being, like a fallen angel, or whether it was actually a literal Prince of Persia, whether it was human or angelic. Regardless, it was a free moral agent that this story seems to indicate interposed to create a three-week delay for this angel. There's a lot I would love to say about this, but time and space doesn't permit it here. Suffice it to say, too many times we attribute unanswered prayer to either the request, either that the request must not, must have, well, we say, well, my prayer, whatever I'm praying for, it must not have been God's will. Or some people will say, well, maybe you didn't have enough faith. God's will or insufficient faith seems to be the two reasons most people default to as to why a prayer seems to not be answered. And I would like to say that both of these have been abused, and both of these answers can actually be dangerous, because many times when a prayer isn't answered, you're in an emotionally charged situation and you're hurting. And the very moment where you need God the most, that's when you're upset at Him, or else you're blaming yourself. And neither one of those is a healthy place to be. Paul gives us actually another way of looking at why some prayers seem to not be answered. He gives us a hint into this. I'm going to take you to Ephesians 6, verse 12. Paul says, "Our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against authorities, against the powers of this dark world, against the spiritual forces of evil in heavenly realms." Our enemies are spiritual forces, their authorities, rulers, fallen rulers in heavenly places. And Paul in 2 Corinthians 10 verse 4 tells us that in waging warfare with these forces, he says the weapons we fight with are not the weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have a divine power to demolish strongholds. Paul gives us a list of these weapons in Ephesians 6, 11 through 18. And what's interesting to me is the last weapon that he mentions here is prayer. That's a spiritual weapon at which we come against these spiritual forces, these authorities, these rulers in heavenly places. He says in Ephesians 6, 18, at the end of this list, he says, "With this in mind," that means this spiritual warfare that we're engaging in with these spiritual forces, "with this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying." It seems that it's through our prayers that we're actually engaging, not in convincing God or informing God, but we're engaging in a warfare on this planet with forces that are opposed to God's will being done down here. It's through prayer that God's will is done on earth as it's done in heaven. That's why Jesus taught us to pray this way in the Lord's Prayer in Matthew 6. Again, prayer isn't asking God to be good. It isn't convincing God to be good. It isn't even informing God of anything we need. Prayer is one of the ways we confront forces down here to open the way for God's will to be done. Notice what Jesus said in John 16, 26. "In that day you will ask in my name, and I do not say that I will request of the Father on your behalf, for the Father himself loves you." So when we ask in Jesus' name, it's not for the purpose of persuading the Father. There's something that praying in Jesus' name, there's an effect that has with the forces here on planet Earth instead. Notice Jesus assured us that he's on our side as well. He said in John 14, verse 13, "Whatever you ask in my name, I'll do it." And in John 14, verse 14, he says the same thing. "If you ask me anything in my name, I will do it." Jesus is on our side. When we ask him, he engages. That's why the Apostle John could write, "This is the confidence that we have, which we have before him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have the requests that we have asked from him." So God said, when we pray according to God's will, we pray in Jesus' name, when we're making a just prayer, in other words, God answers yes. He hears us and he begins to, well, I don't even know if it's fair to even say he begins to, but it definitely opens the door for God to engage and to do his will in a fuller way than what he otherwise would have been able to do had we not prayed. Why does it seem that some prayers go unanswered? Once again, remember in Daniel's prayer. Daniel's prayer was answered on day one. There were other variables at work that, from Daniel's perspective, made it seem like there was a three-week delay. That delay was not God's doing. God was at war through the medium of Daniel's fasting and prayer for 3 weeks and was finally able to get through to him. And I know this story sounds odd. It sounds bizarre to our postmodern naturalistic worldview. But just live in the bizarreness of it for a moment and see if this story doesn't put some of the pieces of the puzzle together for you. You see, each and every prayer we pray, I believe with all my heart, it's effective. It has an effect. It leaves the world different than what the world would have been had we not prayed. Does that mean that everything we pray for is going to happen? Not necessarily. Some of our desires, some of God's desires, he is able to bring about through our prayer now. Some he'll be able to pull off at some point in the future if we keep praying. Some of those desires he may not be able to even pull off until the age to come, till the kingdom, till we're in the kingdom. But it is our privilege, it is our duty, it is our job to expand that kingdom in the here and in the now, and to confront those spiritual forces that oppose God's will. And one of the mightiest weapons we have in doing this is prayer. It's encouraging to me when you think of prayer this way. It's encouraging me that sometimes even Jesus had to pray twice. Remember the story in Mark 8, and I'll read that for you as well, and we're almost done. It says, "They came to Bethesda, and some people brought a blind man and begged Jesus to touch him. And Jesus took the man by the hand, led him outside the village. When he had spit on the man's eyes," kind of gross, I know, "he put his hands on him. And Jesus asked, 'Do you see anything?' And he looked up and he said, 'I see people, but they look like trees walking around.' So it says Jesus once more put his hands on the man's eyes. Then his eyes were opened and his sight was restored and he saw everything clearly." In this story, it was God's will for this man to receive his sight. God was working. Jesus' faith was perfect, but it still took Jesus praying twice for this man to get the full restoration of his sight back. Let me add just a few more closing thoughts. In James, I'm going to read to you a personal translation of James 5:16. He says, "Therefore confess your sins to one another and pray for one another. For more strong or able is the entreaty or prayer of him who is put right or in a right relation to others and to God to bring about the desired result." It seems that James is indicating that when we are living in love, in a reconciled relationship with one another, as a community and with God, that our prayers have a greater effect on these forces that we're warring against. So the three things I'll leave with you is this. First, live in love. Second, know that prayer is not informing God of what we need or convincing God to be good or to give us what we need. And third, know that each prayer you pray has a powerful effect and it leaves the world a different place than what it would have been had you not prayed. Each prayer makes a difference, whether you see the desired outcome or not. Some of those desires, once again, we will witness being fulfilled in the now. Some in the near future. Others, we may not see those desires fulfilled until we get to the kingdom. But it is our privilege, through prayer, to enlarge the kingdom in the here and in the now today. So live in love, pray without ceasing, and go out and this week build the kingdom. Love you guys. See you next week.